For our last story today, we'll stay in the world of Bay Area noir and hear a story about one of San Francisco's most beloved and iconic hard-boiled detective stories.
Harry, what is it?
The stuff that dreams are made of.
KLW's Nina Gensler-Debs went to track down the truth about the Maltese Falcon, and it turns out the truth is not as interesting as the mystery.
My name is Spade, Sam Spade. License number 357896, issued by the Police Department of San Francisco. Occupation, private detective, sometimes known as Private Eye.
Sam Spade is the private eye in The Maltese Falcon, the San Francisco detective novel that's been mystifying readers for almost a century. In the book, Sam almost gets himself killed looking for a bird. That mystery over what the Falcon really is, whether it even existed, and why it has any value has remained so compelling, in fact, that over the years it has slipped off the pages of the book and into the streets of San Francisco. Take John's Grill, for example, where Sam Spade goes to eat in the Maltese Falcon. It's a real restaurant on Ellis Street in the middle of busy downtown San Francisco. And 60-something years after the book was first published, John's Grill decided to go after the legendary Blackbird.
So we decided that we were going to organize a trip to see if we couldn't acquire the Falcon.
Not the real one. I mean, the fictional real one. They wanted one of the two real props from the Bogart movie. Here's how this story goes. Lee Housekeeper says in 1994, one of the props goes up for auction in New York. The restaurant raises about $150,000 to bid, but they don't get it. The bird is sold for almost $400,000 to a jeweler. What Lee does manage, though, is to convince the jeweler to let the statue come to San Francisco for a visit. John's Grill throws a big party for the bird, invites the last living actor from the movie and Hammett's family. They let customers admire the visiting Black Falcon from the movie, but they also buy a $29 plaster cast of it from some prop store. They ask the Hammett family and the actor to sign it and install it in a glass case for regulars and eager tourists alike, who file by it day in and day out. But then, more than a decade later, that bird is stolen. And people flip out.
They're treating this as a major crime scene. The press is going along with this like, of course. The loss of San Francisco's Maltese Falcon would be like the loss of the World Series champion trophy. Worse!
The restaurant offered a $25,000 reward for the statue. The owner even put a private eye on the case. But John's Grill never got its bird back. Though $25,000 might seem like a lot of money for a plaster statue, it isn't even close to what people paid for the other copies of the Maltese Falcon, the quote-unquote real copies from the movie. There were two props made for the Maltese Falcon movie, the one the jeweler bought and the second one, that has a dent from where Humphrey Bogart once dropped it. The dented prop was sold for about $4.2 million. Then the jeweler used his prop to fashion yet another version of the bird, a 10-pound solid gold bird with ruby eyes and a 42-carat diamond hanging from its beak. A bird almost exactly like the one described in the book.
Glorious golden falcon, encrusted from head to foot with the finest jewels in their coffin.
That golden statue was sold to an anonymous buyer for an undisclosed sum, likely millions. But it's not just the mystery of a fake bird that has hooked San Franciscans for so long. Other confounding elements of the story have spilled out into real-life San Francisco. Which brings us back to Bill Arney, that guy we met earlier, who's read the book so many times.
I could read it 100 times!
Yeah.
Yep, that guy. Don Herron, my tour guide, has taken me to the building where Hammett lived while writing The Maltese Falcon. He has been leading Hammett tours around San Francisco for 37 years.
From Hammett's letters, we know that he lived in this building.
He and three equally obsessed friends meet here every so often to play their own never-ending detective game about things like which apartment Sam Spade lived in.
If you read The Maltese Falcon, you can identify apartment 401 as the certainly most likely apartment that Sam Spade lives in. I've identified something like 13 clues that really nail that.
Bill Arney actually lived in apartment 401, the apartment where they believe Sam Spade lived, and where Hammett lived, we think. When Bill lived there, he started to renovate it to what it would have looked like during Hammett's residency. but he never got to finish. He had to move in with his wife. Luckily, he found someone to take over the apartment and the painstaking renovation, a writer named Robert Mailer Anderson, who named his own son after Hammett, and who thinks San Franciscans don't obsess enough about the literary landmarks surrounding them.
I would learn about who lived there and who wrote what where, and be shocked that it happened here, and it seemed like trivia, as opposed to part of our daily lives and our fiber and part of our pride.
And so Robert told me he's spending his wife's inheritance to keep this apartment frozen in time. There's a claw-footed bathtub, period furniture, even corked whiskey bottles from the 1920s.
To preserve it.
The story of the Maltese Falcon must be kept alive, Robert insists. And not just for the obsessors, for all of us. For people who find themselves somewhere between black and white, in the shadows.
People who feel like they're not seen, so they plant their flag around this Maltese Falcon. You know, I am Sam Spade. I am a flawed individual, you know, searching for my own moral code.
In the end, we are all left in the fog, just like Hammett when he walked up and down the streets of San Francisco. And we San Franciscans, we really love our fog.